Okay, can anyone see what that is? It says rainbow, doesn't it? I've decided to try to recreate a rainbow. Okay, now Sarah's going to be helping me with this. And if you could just go outside and just see if we can manage to get to and get this going. Let's see if it works. Hopefully, we can end up with a rainbow reflected. Oh, yeah, there we go. We've actually got a rainbow. And I don't know if you realise, it has just appeared. So Sarah hasn't just mentally projected a rainbow. She's actually outside with a mirror, and she's actually reflecting it through the window. And I think the mirror itself has it's kind of like a curved or an angled edge on it. And I think together, I'm not sure how, but I didn't realise it was going to do this actually. It's actually making a rainbow there on its own. I was going to use a CD, which also works. And if Sarah could stay there with it, I'm not sure whether we can have a double rainbow actually. And if you could do it down a bit, I'm going to see if we can do anything else with it. I don't think we can quite do it. I'm going to try and do it with a light as well. This actually was my fallback plan if it wasn't sunny today. So hopefully we can have two sets of rainbows today. Oh, there we go. But I think Sarah's is a lot better than the one I'm trying to do with a light here. I don't know if you can see that. You can just about see another rainbow as well, can't you? Can you see that? Actually, it's a double one, even though it's a bit blurry. There you go. Thank you, Sarah. That's absolutely great. So, rainbows. And if you do want to try to make that yourself, you need a nice CD, an old-fashioned one. I don't think the DVDs work. And you need a really strong torch, or you can use the light from the day as well. Absolutely amazing. Works really, really well. Now, rainbow colours make us think of a few things as well. The world is full of images of the rainbow, particularly today's world, actually. I've just got a few up here. There's an old picture of apple, and it's got a rainbow colour there. Okay, they're not quite in the right sequence, but the colours are there. I think that was until 1998. They've actually changed it now. It's a more modern version, a little bit more boring. Okay, it's to do with white and light is actually a mixture of all the different colours that make up white light, which are the colours of the rainbow. And when you've got something like a glass prism or a glass mirror, it means that the light that goes into it, the different colours, actually move at slightly different speeds. And it means that as they go into the prism, they actually change direction a little bit. Some of them change more direction than others. The ones that have got a larger wavelength, I don't think they actually change direction as much. So it's to do with that. However, it is a little bit different with the CD. I believe it's something called diffraction with this, which I won't bother to try to explain. but it works, Tom. Thank you for that. So here you've got Skittles, you've got Argos, which is the online version, Legal and General. And there's an image I managed to get from Google. Now, Google do use the colours of the rainbow often. They don't often use them in the right order. However, I managed to find one there that actually did. So there you go. And Skittles, of course. There you go. Skittles, very, very tasty. Haven't got any this morning, but I'm sure if your parents are okay, you can go out and get a bag of Skittles later. Right, so, but the real meaning of a rainbow is connected to the flood. When God was sad and angry at everything that was wrong in the world was a really difficult place. And people were doing things that were making God sad. People quite liked doing the things that they were doing. They thought it was really good, but they were doing horrible things. They were murdering people. They were turning their back on God and God's ways big time. And it got to be so bad that God had to do something about it. So he sent a great flood on the earth. But he rescued Noah. You see, God didn't want to destroy the whole world. God wanted to stop what was bad in the world. But he rescued Noah and his family. And also lots of animals as well. You may know the story of Noah's ark when the animals went in two by two. And they were rescued from this massive flood. And you can see here, you've got a massive boat there. And I think actually, if it was done to scale, the ark would be even bigger than that. It was absolutely huge, huge. And many, many animals went into the ark and were rescued. After the flood, God promised He would never send a flood on the earth again. And he made a rainbow, the Bible tells us, to remind us of that. Reading from Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between you and every living creature with you. A covenant which is like a very official agreement for all generations to come. I have set a rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my agreement between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. I think during the time immediately after the flood, I think Noah would have needed some encouragement, don't you? You know? Yes, God had been with him. Yes, God had directed him to build the ark. So he knew he was doing God's will. But it must have been difficult. You know, huge flood like never before. The skies would have been so dark, cooped up inside the ark for weeks and weeks. You know, without even seeing the light of day. And then knowing that all these animals, other animals that didn't make it through the ark, all these people and life had ceased. You know, it was a sobering time, actually. Yes, it was God's will, and yes, it needed to happen because things were so bad. It was a living hell on earth. It must have been sobering for Noah, and it must have been difficult for him as well. I think a rainbow would have encouraged him. Don't you? What sign more encouraging of better things to come than a rainbow? After it rains, we know there's a rainbow. Usually it's a sign that the sun is breaking out again. It might have been raining, but there is hope. There is something better coming along. And also it speaks of God's love for us as well. As we go through life, we will see and experience brokenness and sadness from time to time, like what God saw when he saw the earth doing all the wrong things that were really bad and they were rebelling against God and God's ways. You know, that actually made God sad. But there are things in our lives that can make us sad as well, aren't there? Maybe someone you like becomes ill, or maybe things don't work out at school or at work. Life can be difficult. And at those times we need to remind ourselves of some of these key truths. For us today, as well as reminding us that the global flood will not happen again, the rainbow can also remind us that God always wants the best for us. He always wants the best. He delights to bring good things into our lives. Even when we muck things up, God is there. And as we turn to him, seek his forgiveness and direction for our lives again, he makes a real change. So that's something to encourage us with, isn't it? So whenever you see the rainbow in the days ahead, I want you to reflect on those things. Some people say that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, don't they? I'm not sure if you heard that. There's many other things that are attributed to rainbows. I don't think it's in the Bible, so I'm not sure how much worth you can hold with that. But God's love is absolutely sure. And God's love through his Son, Jesus Christ, is a promise that we can all hold on to. It's a promise that God cares. It's a promise that God is with you. It's a promise of better things to come. Oh, by the way, does anyone know, apparently SOS first came from nowhere. Does anyone know where an SES came? SOS came from. Did I say SAS? SOS came from, or what it stands for. Anyone? Save our... No. Apparently it was save our sausages. Because it was very, very wet on the ark and the sausages were being flooded. So he really needed help with the sausages. But I suppose save our souls is something that would have been deep in Noah's mind as well. Yeah? Okay. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love that is displayed to us in a wonderful rainbow. And, you know, it shows us that you love us. Yes, it's a promise that you will not bring the flood again. But it speaks to us of things deeper than that as well. It speaks to us of your care, of your love for us, of your will for our future to be better than the past. For you to be willing to embrace us and to forgive us, Lord, when we muck things up. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a loving God. We thank you that you are such a powerful God and you want to bring good things into our lives. The world can show us lots of things. Lots of pretty baubles and things that look attractive. And some of the things in the world are good. You created creation before it was spoiled. But Lord, your ways are so much better. Your goodness is so much good and so much beyond anything that the world around can give us. And the rainbow just helps us to remember that. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, both now and in the days ahead. Amen. I've got something for you to look at here. There's a number of images, a number of things, a number of concepts, perhaps. And I'd like to think about a connection between all of these things. So I'll just give you a moment or two. See if anybody can come up with this. I'm just thinking if Martin was around, he might come up with this one. I had a chat with him the other day about something. Okay, lots of things up there. Some classical music, chess, Dean Koontz books, Plato's Republic, the Aeneid, very, very posh reading. A Triumph Street Twin, U2, Good News Bible, Jesus, and a book about religious things. And what is that up there? What is that one? That's a cat, isn't it? So has anybody got an idea? Well, what do all these things have in common, do you think? Anyone? Me, perhaps. Yes. Corinne, thank you, yeah. What M was it that gave it away, Corinne, for you? The motorbike and the science. Absolutely. Yeah, I quite like classical music. I like a meat pie. Yeah. Judah, I used to do judo until I kept on injuring my toe. Anybody do any martial arts here? Anybody venture to do that? It's probably a good thing. I enjoy it, but it's quite dangerous, so I don't tend to do it now. My toe and my stomach muscles say no, so I don't tend to do it much today. You got a little bit of philosophy. That's very, very high sounding, isn't it? Søren Kierkegaard, fantastic philosopher. Very, very much on a Christian philosopher, an existentialist, but he was very, very much on living life in the now and living out your faith passionately with what you really, really believe. And his idea was basically that is the best way to live your Christian faith and to live it as an individual. It's what's inside you that matters and your response to God. It is not the church that matters and the outward appearance or organisations and rules. What really, really matters is our relationship to God. So anyway, lots and lots of things though. Of course, Christ is central here for me, and the Bible, of course, as well. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, I did actually intend the Bible to be bigger than that one, but I actually added that later and I forgot that the Bible was meant to be the biggest book. Okay. So, enough about me though. Okay. Now, what about God? What do you think God would put upon the screen? You know, what does God like? You know, perhaps world peace, perhaps kindness, if you could show it in an easy way, perhaps creation when it's beautiful and unspoiled. You know, we live in a beautiful created world by God, you know. However, it's not perfect. There has been the fall. There is death and decay as well. But we do see glimpses of the beauty, don't we? Just like the rainbow. People coming to know Jesus for sure as well. These are all things that God loves. But there is one thing I haven't mentioned, but it's important for us to know. It really is in our lives, whether we're old or young. And it's a great truth. It's a simple truth, but it is deep and it's true. God more than likes you. God loves deeply those who follow Jesus and love Jesus. And when in the second half of this morning, I'm going to do it quite, don't worry, I won't go on for another hour. But for these next few minutes, I would like to take you on a journey where we dig deeper into the theme of who we are in Christ and to begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. Doctor, doctor, I feel like a pair of curtains. And the answer is, pull yourself together then. Yeah. Doctor, doctor, I feel like a pair of wigwams. It's a little bit harder. The problem is you've become a bit too tense. Bit too tense. You get it with a pair of wigwams as well. Okay, there you go. What we believe about ourselves actually really, really does matter. Especially in regards to God. Of course, we do need to believe in God, but how we think about ourselves in our Christian walk actually does matter. It's where the rubber hits the road, and it affects our faith as well. When we become a follower of Jesus, we need to realize that we become a great delight to God, and realize that knowing and remembering this is one of the best helps to empowering us in our Christian journey. 1 Peter reads, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. He's feeling special this morning because you are, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And the next one, Corinthians, there are many, many verses that I could have chosen. These were just two. Tells us, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are sons and daughters of the living God. If we believe in Jesus, we follow him as Lord and Master of our lives. That is who we are. And if you don't know Jesus yet, that is what you can be as well. It's an amazing thing to consider. You know, we can easily say these words. We can easily read them. These are powerful things, powerful concepts. We need to remind ourselves of these truths. One time we need to especially do this is when times are tough and difficult, as life can be. We talked about God's promises earlier this morning. God tells us that he will be with us through his Holy Spirit as we journey through this life. But nowhere does God say it's going to be easy, you know? In fact, everyone who is a real and true disciple of Christ will find it hard. Hard when we don't always take the easy, but not always right path in life. Hard when we stand up for things we believe. Hard when the world mocks and pours scorn upon our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. At times it will just be hateful, you know? At these times, we need to remind ourselves of the big picture and gain strength when naturally we feel anything but strong. When the world comes against us, and all of us must have been in these situations, I encourage you with this one thing this morning. There are many things we can encourage ourselves with in Christ, but this is one I'd like to encourage you with this morning. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember that Christ and God loves you. Remember as well your calling, that we are called to be heirs with Christ. We will join him one day. John 1:4 tells us, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let me hear a hallelujah please, or an amen. Amen. It's true. The one who is in you is greater than the world. And sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, he's greater than ourselves as well. He can bless us even despite ourselves. Because sometimes we are the cause of things being difficult in our lives as well, if we're honest about it. But God is big enough for that too. The Bible tells us, we are not those who live by sight, but rather by faith. Difficult times will come and go in our lives, but God's power and our destiny is never going to change. That is always going to be rock steady. In these days, and I'm afraid I am one that looks to these days as being difficult days ahead. I'm not one who sings and thinks, oh, there's going to be amazing revival. I hope there is, and I would love to see it, but I think we're in difficult times. And I think that the difficulty and the pressure to live a Christian life is going to be harder and harder and harder in the days ahead. And we are going to need to be able to encourage ourselves with these thoughts. Remember who we really are in Christ. It doesn't matter what other people say or think. Who we are. To know that to be true. But it's not just during difficult times as well. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, we read of Vanity Fair, a place where people sing and make merry constantly, but they are never really happy. They're always striving for an appearance of being happy. And John Bunyan's tale is a tale of a Christian as he journeys on a pilgrimage to meet with God and to finally have his burden of sin removed. So it is basically an allegory of a Christian becoming, or a person becoming, a true Christian as they walk that journey with Christ. When times are good, there is a danger of forgetting just who we are, and that as God's special people, we are called to be in the world, but not of it. Busyness of everyday life alone is enough to help us to forget who we are on a moment-by-moment basis. Don't ever let your life get too busy. Now, I know a lot of us do lead busy lives. I do as a teacher at times. Depends. Last year, I was a supply teacher, so I could pick and choose the days I worked. So it was a little bit better. But often our lives are busy. But we've got to have time. Make sure you put aside time for God amongst all of that busyness. And God will bless you for that. Using another literary analogy, it can be a little bit like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you know, in the Field of Poppies as well. Forgetting and losing all memory of the real reason why we are on the journey we are on. The busyness of life, the things of life, the colourful baubles and things that can attract can help us to, unfortunately, forget our true calling and who we are. And then miss out on the blessing that God wants to pour into your life. Blessings of different types, but including you being a good witness for Christ. When you remember who you are, you can better stand for God as well. Revelation chapter 22 talks of a future time of God's people. It reads, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no need for a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. There was a story set during the days when America used slaves. One such slave stood out from the others. He kept working hard the whole day and never complained and always maintained his appearance. Eventually the slave masters asked about him and why he was so different to the other slaves. One of the slaves, who often acted as a go-between between the slave master and the slaves themselves, said, "Oh, that's easy. You see, in Africa, he was a prince of a large tribe. You see, he remembers and knows who he is. He is royalty, and he will not let this state of affairs bring him down." Did you hear that? He knew who he was. He was not going to be defined by the situation around him, what he found himself in, but rather he was going to keep on being the best he could be in the situation he found himself in. That's what God calls us to as well. Knowing his real worth helped him to maintain his dignity, his poise, and his work as well. His work was better as a result. it was noted. Galatians 2:6 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And Galatians, a bit later on, 4 verse 7. "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." I want this morning to end by hearing from the prophet Jeremiah. Now, he's known as not being such a positive prophet, actually. Often if you read the book of Jeremiah, it's quite depressing, the negative things he says. It's a lot about judgment and how people need to turn back to God. But here is a wonderful text. "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In the days ahead, when you feel like giving up, remember Christ has chosen you for a reason. When you get distracted in your Christian life by the things of this world, remember God believes in you. When you feel unloved, remember God loves you with a death-defying love. When you feel worthless, remember in God's eyes you are precious. And when you get put out by other Christians, remember God believes in you and them as well.